This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأزكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء، أما بعد. Today we start a new class. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in these gatherings and allows the ilm to penetrate deep into our hearts. This class will take us through the stories of the companions, the greatest generation to walk on this earth after the prophets. They were praised in the Quran, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from this world in a state of being pleased with them. So when we say their names, respectfully, we add, radiyallahu anhu wa radu anhu. Allah was pleased with the individual, and they were also pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose of this class is to find inspiration in their stories, to learn lessons, to see what they did that made them so special and dear to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The purpose of studying this class is to reflect on how we can improve. How can we grow like them? How can we be like them? In one ayah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while praising the companions and mentioning their reward, He said, those who follow them in excellence, telling us that the reward reserved for the companions, inshallah, will be shared by those who followed their example. They were blessed by Allah and they were lucky to be alive during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But them being with the Prophet of Allah, as great of an opportunity it was equally a great test. Because being alive during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and rejecting his message would make you the greatest kafir. Just as believing in him would make you the greatest believer. One time a Sahabi overheard another person saying, that I wish I was alive during the time of the Prophet of Allah. So this Sahabi turned to him and said, do you even know what that meant? Do you know the sacrifices that we had to take on? The challenges involved, every day and every night, the difficulties we had to endure to be from that group of people. Because life with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was truly rewarding, but it involved a great sacrifice. And you'll see this common theme in the life of the companions, that there was an ongoing sacrifice. And they weren't intimidated by those challenges. They weren't afraid of those challenges. They actually welcomed them, because they understood that through those difficulties, their value and their worth increased. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Similarly, Allah azza wa jalla says in the Quran that those who sacrificed and spent before the conquest of Mecca and those who came after are not the same. لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَاتَلِ. That those who made their sacrifice and fought before and gave in the path of Allah before the conquest of Mecca, because at that time, Islam and Muslims were still a minority. It's when Muslims become a majority and they become now this powerhouse, this movement, that it becomes easier to be a Muslim. But when Muslims are a minority, you have to really believe in your identity, because you will be required to sacrifice. There are compromises. There are things that you will need to walk away from. There are luxuries that you won't be able to have. There are nights where you will sleep in pain. There are job opportunities that will be stripped away from you. Being a Muslim will come with a cost, and that cost is in the dunya. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise in the Quran is, وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. That if you are true believers, He will keep you high. He will keep you high, and you will always be elevated. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. As we start this journey of studying the stories of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first name to discuss and the top of this list is none other than Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu an is a man with such great virtues that once you start listing them, you soon realize that this is almost a list that has no bottom to it. When I was studying the life of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu and going through the various accounts of biographies and the books of a hadith, trying to pull out the narrations of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, one thing that became clear to me: in order to cover his life, you had to cover the entire seerah. Because every significant part of his life was connected to a significant part of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The two stories were so deeply, intimately intertwined that they could not be separated. Everything about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, everything in his life was connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything was connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let's get to know Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. His birth name is Abdullah. Abdullah bin Uthman. He holds an honor that four generations of his were all Sahaba. His father becomes a Muslim after the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, much later into the Prophet's life. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered to Makkah Mukarramah for the conquest and it was time for Abu Quhafa to become Muslim, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At this point, Abu Quhafa was a very old man. His beard and all of the hair on his head were snow white. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made two statements to him. The first thing that he said is, you should have told me, you're the senior, I would have come to you. If you wanted to accept Islam, there was no need for you to come here. We would have come to you. Adab and ihtiram. And the second thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also proposed was, you should consider some hair coloring. Use some henna, use some khidab. This is really white right here. So his father is a Muslim. Obviously, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was Muslim. All of his children were Muslim. And then also his grandchildren were Muslim, and they were Sahaba as well. So not only were they Muslims, they were all Sahaba. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, when he was born, his mother presented him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet of Allah took the date of tahniq, moistened it with his own saliva, and then put it into the baby's mouth and made dua. And the Sahaba, they say that we desired that it was our children that was in the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that moment, with the du'as that he was giving. This was in honor of the grandchildren of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. His mother's name was Ummul Khair, Salma bint Sakhr. She also became Muslim in the early days of Islam. Her story of Islam is quite a fascinating one, and one that shows us how generous Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was with his gifts. His generosity and kindness, I'm not talking about financial generosity here now, I'm talking about a different type of generosity. His generosity, his kindness, his compassion wasn't limited to the people who studied with him and those that were with him in the community, those that were next to him in the masjid, but it started at home. The riwayah tells us one day, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said to the Prophet of Allah, O Messenger of Allah, give me permission to give da'wah to the Quraysh. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted permission. He stood in an open public space around the Kaaba and began to invite towards Islam. In another riwayah, someone came to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and said to him that you need to go to the haram right away. The people are abusing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he went to the haram right away and he said to the people, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ, that are you hurting this man, abusing this man because he claims to believe in one Allah? Is that his crime? Regardless, when the Quraysh saw him brazenly speak about Islam and be so confident with his faith, they turned their direction towards him and collectively they jumped on him. And they beat him so badly. There was one man specifically who climbed on the chest of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, took the bottom of his shoe and jammed the heel of his footwear into the face of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu repeatedly. Once they were done with him, the people thought he was going to die. His tribe had to come and save him. And as they were carrying him out of the haram, they turned back to the people and they said, we've seen your faces and we saw the people who raised their hand against our clansmen. If he dies, we will come back for blood. He was so badly injured. In one narration, his face was so bruised that they couldn't tell where his nose was. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was resting. Only Allah knows how much pain he was in. So when he gained consciousness, his father was there, his mother was there, some of the other people. The first person he asks about is Rasulullah. How is the Prophet of Allah? Not concerned about the injuries that he sustained, not interested in knowing how many fractured bones he has, whether he's been medicated or not, whether he'll live or not, will insurance cover all of this? He's more interested in knowing, where is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What happened to the Prophet of Allah? It's fascinating. The Prophet of Allah grew up without a father, mother, or siblings. But in return of all of that, Allah gave the Prophet of Allah Abu Bakr, who sometimes was a fatherly figure for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes he was a motherly figure for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other times he was a brother for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the deputy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to when he needed someone to cover, when he needed someone to fill in. And I'll give examples for all of these. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the first person he asks about is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which highlights for us the most important trait in the existence of this man was his unconditional love for the Prophet of Allah. It was unconditional. For many of us, love is very conditional. Our love for Allah is conditional. I will love Allah as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps giving me what I want. If God stops fulfilling my desires, I will no longer love Him and I will walk away. Very entitled. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unconditional. whether it made sense to him or not, even if his ego was raging, even if he was very angry in that moment, he knew, all ego aside, always trust the Prophet of Allah, there will be your success. An example of this, at Hudaybiyah, when the Muslims are rejected and deprived of the right to perform Umrah. And the Prophet ﷺ signs the treaty that we are not performing Umrah this year, we are going to head back, we'll come back the next year. The Sahaba are enraged. These are a tribal community. These are people who are very comfortable with war, specifically if they are insulted. They're willing to put their lives down. They've done it before for sillier things, and now they're thinking, O Messenger of Allah, we've killed and died on crazy things, and this is for the sake of Allah, standing next to the Prophet of Allah, to the house of Allah. There's no more honorable death than this one. Give us permission, we'll fight and die if we have to. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insists everyone out of ihram. Umar radiallahu anhu is enraged. And he wants to talk to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has a conversation with Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu says to him, trust Allah and His Messenger. Trust them. Later on, Umar radiallahu anhu would regret that moment. He would regret that doubt. And he would remember that when things got very tough, the loyalty of Abu Bakr was unwavering. This is why who he was. This is why he was who he was. There was no challenge, there was no fear, there was no temptation, there was no curveball in this world that can remove his focus from the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how much he dearly loved this man. It was impossible. So when he wakes up, the first thing he's asking is, how is the Prophet of Allah? Like a parent who's gained consciousness after having a car accident. When they wake up, they don't ask, how am I doing? They say, how's Baba? How is my child that was sitting in the back seat? Tell me about my child. And the doctor says, how about we figure out and what's wrong with you? No, I don't want to hear what's wrong with me. Tell me how my baby is doing, otherwise I'm out of here. His father was frustrated because he didn't understand Islam, love for the Prophet of Allah, had no idea the caliber of iman that his son had and what a legend he was. He thought his son was crazy and just walked out of there. Mothers are mothers. So she said, I will find a way for you to meet the Prophet of Allah. She accommodates her son to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he laid eyes on Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and saw how badly he had been beaten, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam began to cry and he kissed his bruise. He kissed his wound. And then he said, Abu Bakr, is there any dua? Like, you've earned it. Is there any dua that could be made for you? He said, O Messenger of Allah, my mother is standing outside of this room. She brought me here. She was my path to you. She carried me to you. I'd like for you to make dua to Allah that she becomes Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raises his mubarak hands and he makes dua for the mother of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He calls his mother in without a word said to her. She says herself, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. The generosity of Abu Bakr. That dua could have been his. He could have asked for something for himself, but he was such an amazing human being. He was so selfless that in that moment, rather than calling in a favor for him, for his own well-being, for the individual, he remembers his mother. So his mother, Umm al-Khayr, now becomes a companion and a great an honorable woman in the history of Islam. Many great stories regarding her. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was married to four women. One of them from before Islam, Qutaylah bint Abdul Uzza. She did not become Muslim. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu then divorced her. And later on went on to have a total of three wives until he passed away. From his children, the oldest two children were from that first wife, Qutaylah. They were Asma and Abdullah. These were the two children that were actually of age and old enough to assist the Prophet of Allah and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh during the migration. So when we say that there were two children of Abu Bakr that delivered food and delivered the news of the happenings of Makkah Mukarramah during that migration, it was these two children. The older two children from Qutaylah bint Abdul Uzza. They both became Muslim. Asma radiallahu anha later on goes to marry Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anha. She has multiple children. Due to certain complications in their marriage, that marriage ended. And she then lived the rest of her life with her beloved dear son, Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anha, until he was martyred. And then soon after, she passed away at a very old age. Most historians put her over 100 years of age. She lived a very, you know, beautiful life. And I love to talk about her, but inshallah, we'll have a class dedicated to her. And then there is Abdullah, who participated in the Battle of Ta'if. And then from his second wife, he had two children, Abdurrahman and Aisha. Abdurrahman and Aisha were from his second wife, Umm Ruman radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha, where do we start talking about her? There will, inshallah, if Allah gives us life and tawfiq, there will definitely be a class dedicated to this legend and giant of Islam. Her brother Abdurrahman wasn't too quick on becoming Muslim. He actually hung out with the Quraysh for a bit and came against the Muslims in the Battle of Badr. Later on, Abdurrahman also accepts Islam. And then he had a son, Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. He was the son of Asma bint Umays radiallahu anha. She was previously married to a companion, a great companion, who was martyred in the Battle of Muta, and thereafter she entered into the marriage of Asma of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha. Muhammad bin Abi Bakr was a great individual. However, during the fitna against Uthman radiallahu anhu, unfortunately, he was persuaded and gave support to the rebels against Uthman radiallahu anhu. Something that later in his life he regretted a lot. Ultimately, he relocated to Egypt, and it was there that he lived the last part of his life. Another fascinating story for another time. And the last of his children is Habiba bint Khadija. She was a daughter of his. She was actually born after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu passed away. She was actually born, her name was Kulthum. Her mother's name was Habiba bint Khadija. Kulthum was actually born after Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu passed away. When Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was on his deathbed, he said to his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha that this is my wealth, this is how you will distribute it among your brothers and sisters. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, sisters? I have a sister. What do you mean sisters? So at that point, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha said, my wife is pregnant and my heart tells me that it'll be a daughter. So take care of her. And she then becomes like a sidekick of Aisha radiallahu anha. Grows up with her, studies with her, is very close to her. And so there are a lot of masail here. Can you give inheritance to a child unborn and so on? Was it a wasiyah that he was suggesting, or was it something else? So there is some legal discussion regarding that farewell advice of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Okay, his laqab, his honorific title that he went by was As-Siddiq. Where did this title come from? Abu Bakr As-Siddiq. Where did this title Abu Bakr As-Siddiq come from? Some historians, they say, that it was given to him by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why was he given this title by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ibn Qutaybah says, لَقَّبَهُ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam بِذَلِكَ لِجَمَالِ وَجْهِهِ سَمَّاهُ النَّبِيُّ صِدِّيقًا. That because of the beauty of his face, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him Siddiq, the truthful one. In one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to him as Siddiq because he accepted and confirmed the story that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reality Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented after his return from Mi'raj. And because he had no hesitation, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is Siddiq, and that name of his stuck. One of his other common names was Atiq. Where did this come from? Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, لِمَ سُمِّيَ أَبُو بَكْرَ عَتِيقًا. That why was Abu Bakr Siddiq رضي الله عنه called عتيق. فَقَالَتْ نَظَرَ إِلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَقَالَ هَذَا عَتِيقُ اللَّهِ مِنَ النَّارِ. One day we were with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Abu Bakr was there. The Prophet of Allah turned to Abu Bakr and said, this man is free from the fire of hell. And because he used the word عتيق to convey this message, and it was such an honorable moment, it stuck. And therefore we move forward calling him عتيق. And there are other positions about this too. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu holds many great historical accolades. From them, he is said to be the first to accept Islam. There are those who say that him being the first to accept Islam means the first of people to accept Islam from outside of his family and from the free men. Because before him, there are people who accepted Islam. We have Khadija radiallahu anha. We have Ali radiallahu anhu. We have Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is viewed as the first person outside of the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to accept Islam. Similarly, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, the first person to pray salah was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَوَّلُ مَنْ صَلَّى أَبُو بَكْرَ. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu really sacrificed it all for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He really sacrificed it all for the deen. When he became Muslim, Islam wasn't just for him. His Islam was to be an extension of the Prophet of Allah. So the concern, the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became his. And this is the muqtada of muhabba, that when a person says that I love someone, that person's goals and objectives, that person's life then gets extended over to you. And this is what you'll see within some students, that they're able to go very far. How are those students able to go so far? In reality, it's based off of a relationship they had with the teacher who came before, who instilled in their heart the foundation that was needed for them to go that far. These people are continuing a journey that was started by someone else before them. But they're not starting from zero. There's someone that's giving them like 99% of everything they need, and these people are now piecing it together, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them tawfiq, and you see the likes of Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi. You see the likes of Salahuddin Ayyubi, you know, in the political and also in the army branch of Islam. You see the likes of Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali. These guys are all proteges of greater people who came before them, who helped develop them. And these are by their own statements. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was a protege of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a continuation of that legacy. Everything about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dear and important to him. One time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he saw Abu Bakr, and next to them was Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, the poet of the Prophet of Allah, هَلْ قُلْتَ فِي أَبِي بَكْرِ شَيْئًا. Is there any poetry that you've composed regarding my buddy over here, Abu Bakr? فَقَالَ نَعَمْ. He said, yes. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قُلْ وَأَنَا أَسْمَعْ. So read the lines of poetry so I can also enjoy them. فَقَالَ وَثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ فِي الْغَارِ الْمُنِيفِ وَثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ فِي الْغَارِ الْمُنِيفِ وَقَدْ. The second of the two in this beautiful, gracious cave they were in. وَقَدْ طَافَ الْعَدُوُّ بِهِ إِذْ صَعَّدَ الْجَبَلَ. And the enemy roamed around the two of them after they had climbed the mountain. He was the second of the two in the cave with the Prophet of Allah. After they had climbed the mountain and the enemies were searching for them. وَكَانَ حِبَّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ قَدْ عَلِمُوا. He was the beloved of the Prophet of Allah and everyone knew it. وَكَانَ حِبَّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ عَلِمُوا. He was the beloved of the Prophet of Allah and everyone knew it. قَدْ عَلِمُوا مِنَ الْبَرِيَةِ. Everyone knew it. لَمْ يَعْدِلْ بِهِ رَجُلًا no man can ever equate to or equal to Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. فَضَحِكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَتَّى بَدَتْ نَوَاجِدُهُ. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard these words about his number two, about his buddy and friend, his father-in-law, he then smiled until his teeth were visible. ثُمَّ قَالَ صَدَقْتَ يَا حَسَّانُ هُوَ كَمَا قُلْتُ. Hassan, there was no exaggeration in your words. He is just as you said. No man can equal to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. During the campaign of Tabuk, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam engaged in one of the most epic fundraising campaigns because they were up against the Romans. So this was a big deal. And the journey to the Romans was not across a mountain or through a few valleys. It was all the way up north. They were crossing ground and it was rough terrain they were going to cover. And the season was very, very hot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to it as al-usra, that it was a tough moment for them. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before they went on the campaign, he told the companions to give. So everyone went home and they started bringing. Umar radiallahu anhu, he narrates a story. He says, Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi narrates this specific riwayah in his Kitab al-Zakat because it's about giving. And Umar ibn al-Khattab qala amarna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an natasaddaqa fa wafaqa dhalika malan 'indi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to donate. At that moment I coincidentally had money. I actually had some money in my account. So I thought to myself, faqultu al-yawma asbiqu Aba Bakr in sabaqtuhu yawma. If there's any day in my life I'm going to beat this guy, it's going to be today because I have money, I have cash. And I'm going to walk in with that money and I'm going to beat him. فَجِئْتُ بِنِصْفِ مَالِي. So much money. I picked up half of it and delivered it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ لِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مَا أَبْقَيْتَ لِأَهْلِكَ. The Prophet of Allah said to me, what did you leave behind? قُلْتُ مِثْلَهُ. The equivalent of what I'm presenting to you is at home. So people at home are good. Here's half of my wealth. وَأَتَى أَبُو بَكْرٍ بِكُلِّ مَا عِنْدَهُ. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came with everything he had. فَقَالَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مَا أَبْقَيْتَ لِأَهْلِكَ. What did you leave behind? فَقَالَ أَبْقَيْتُ لَهُمْ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. I left behind for them Allah and His Rasul. What does that mean? I left behind for them Allah and His Rasul. I taught my family a lesson that when it comes to answering the call of the Prophet of Allah, we give everything and we trust Allah and His Messenger. I taught them the lesson that there are no limits, there are no boundaries when it comes to expressing your love for Allah and His Messenger. Those who claim to love the Prophet of Allah in today's world will need to take a lesson from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And if that's hard for you, look around you and just look at how much the people who hate the Prophet of Allah hate him, how far they're willing to go, the sacrifices they're willing to make, the money they're willing to give to express their love. At least learn to love the Prophet of Allah from his haters. Match them at least. If you can't reach Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, at least look at the people who hate the Prophet of Allah. They're willing to troll nonstop. They're willing to be in every comment section. They're like bedbugs. They show up everywhere. You can look at a message on social media, online, that praises the Prophet of Allah, and there is a guarantee what's going to happen. One of these bedbugs are going to be there, just sucking the blood out of people, right? Just hating and spewing their hate. One of my friends who was very much involved in YouTube, you know, content creating, all these things. He was telling me that he had access to extensive stats on marketing on the back end of different organizations, companies, and different groups, non-for-profits and for-profits that were dumping money into marketing. And he said that the Muslims are nowhere near even a fraction of the anti-Muslim lobby that's out there. They pour in millions of dollars, millions. I think it was $20-30 million every year for anti-Islamic content. That's how much they hate Islam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where are Muslims gone? We're spending money, by the way. We're spending millions of dollars as an ummah, but on weddings. We're spending millions of dollars collectively on ribs, on tacos, on pizza, on clothes. Am I wrong? If the Muslim ummah is broke and we don't have money, then you guys tell me, Sheikh, we're actually broke. That's why we can't do it. No, that's not the case. We're buying $100 million paintings. Someone did that. You know, we're traveling to European countries, and instead of stepping out of the plane like normal human beings, we're flying in escalating stairs to bring us down, right? Because we can. We're doing silly and dumb things. We're taking in our palaces. We have toilets made of gold. I'm referring to real incidents. None of these are hypotheticals, by the way. These are all real things that unfortunately people have done who have lost their aql and have no brain left. This is what's happening. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu gave everything. One Urdu poet, he said, kisi ne sal sala diya, kisi ne nisfa ghar diya, par Aisha ke baap ne diya, to is qadar diya, khuda ke naam ke siwa, jo kuch thala ke dar diya. That he's saying that when it came time to give, someone gave this, someone gave that. But when it came time for Aisha's father, Aisha radiallahu anha's father, khuda ke naam ke siwa, jo kuch thala ke dar diya. That he gave everything other than the name of Allah. He brought all of his possessions and deposited in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar radiallahu anhu, he then said, فَقُلْتُ لَا أُسَابِقُكَ إِلَىٰ شَيْءٍ أَبَدًا. I will not compete with you again. This competition thing that I had in my mind that I need to compete with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, we're going to put this one to sleep. We'll focus on other things in life. But there is no competing with Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the all-time investor. All-time. I'm telling you, Warren Buffett, nothing. Telling you, nothing. This is the real deal. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu wasn't into buying stocks. He didn't buy lotto machines and set them all over the state. That's not what he did. He invested in people. Bilal radiallahu anhu is buried in rocks. Madfunun fil hijara, as the scholars describe that moment. Not literally, but it's a description, right? He's buried in rocks, being tortured. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu purchases him. And the seller says, had you agreed to a price less than that, I would have given it to you. Because Bilal had no value in my eyes. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu says, had you asked for 100 times more, I would have given it to you because he has nothing but value in my eyes. Now this Bilal radiallahu anhu, like the one who set him free, becomes the number two of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of them. All of the people that he brings into Islam become the immediate circle of the Prophet of Allah. From the ten who were promised paradise by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, five of them became Muslim at the hands of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Imagine the sadaqah, jariyah that this man created. And this shows us to invest in people. Find people around you, inspire them. This is a part of that legacy of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that they were created by a great person, so they then used what they have learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to create great people as well. The ulama, they write that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu never consumed alcohol even prior to Islam. He is referred to as the first person, وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ قَاءَ تَحَرُّجًا مِنَ الشُّبُهَاتِ. He was the first person to deliberately cause himself to vomit because he doubted that he had consumed something haram. One of his servants gave him milk. He forgot to ask where the money came from for this milk. Later on, when he inquired, he found out it was due to some dubious actions that this person had engaged in prior to Islam. He was doing some fortune-telling business. So there was a delayed payment. That guy just got paid, and he gave that milk to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he put his fingers on his throat and vomited it out. He did not want any impurity in his body. His personal taqwa. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was so particular that even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell the companions not to have their pants under their ankles. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu would spend most of his time just pulling his pants up again and again. And they wouldn't stick because his waistline was quite slim. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi narrates the hadith So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّكَ لَسْتَ مِنَ الْخُيَلَىٰ, that you are not one of the people that show off, let it be. And this is where Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Bukhari and other scholars deduced that the prohibition of having garments under the ankles is due to arrogance. Because the Prophet of Allah said, إِنَّكَ لَسْتَ مِنَ الْخُيَلَىٰ. This prohibition only applies to men, by the way. With that said, majority of the muhadithun and fuqaha say it is not connected to that. Right? They say that it is a am hukum, it is a general hukum, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade having garments hanging under the ankles. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu participated in all the battles alongside Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right from Badr. And he was someone that when he fought in the battle, it wasn't so much about him fighting for himself. He fought in the battle to defend Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone asked Ali radiallahu anhu, who was more courageous, you or Abu Bakr? What a weird question. Who is more courageous, you or Abu Bakr? People love comparing, right? Messi or Ronaldo. So he asked him, who was more courageous, you or Abu Bakr? So he said, Abu Bakr by far. In the battle of Badr, each person was fighting to defend himself. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was only fighting for the Messenger of Allah. That's all he did. Just protecting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wherever the Messenger of Allah went in the battlefield, like a shadow, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu followed him there. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see Abu Bakr and see that Abu Bakr was sad, the Prophet of Allah would intervene to see how he can solve the problem of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu narrates, this is such a beautiful narration from Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, Kitab al-Fada'il. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu narrates that one day I was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in front of us, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu rushed by holding his garment. And he was holding his garment in a way that a part of his leg was hatta abda an rukbatihi, a part of his leg was exposed. Faqala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amma sahibukum faqad ghamir. The Prophet of Allah said, this man is occupied, something's consuming him, something's on his mind. Fasallama. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came to the Prophet of Allah and he gave salam. قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِبْنِ الْخَطَّابِ شَيْءٌ فَأَسْرَعْتُ عَلَيْهِ. I had a dispute with Umar radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu in dispute with Umar radiallahu anhu. It's quite epic. فَأَسْرَعْتُ عَلَيْهِ, I said some things. ثُمَّ نَدِمْتُ, then I regretted it. Now one thing I'll tell you about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, if you messed with him, he would give it to you. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was known that he would say what was on his mind. People would assume because he was thinner in his frame that, you know, maybe he wouldn't have a voice. No. He himself said, he held his tongue and said, هَذَا الَّذِي أَوْرَدَنِي الْمَوَارِدِ. He held his tongue and said, you got me in a lot of trouble. And this statement of his is a result of certain incidents that happened in his life where he lashed out. He got angry and he said things. And I can give you a list of moments where he said things that, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded him on it. The amazing thing about him was that where he would get angry, sari'ul ghadab, I won't call him sari'ul ghadab, but where he would get angry, he would cool down quickly too. One time, there's a list of these incidents, by the way. If you study hadith, you'll see them. And I find them beautiful. I don't think there's any aib or any sort of flaw that these narrations point out in Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They actually show his beauty, that he who he was and how he was so, how he controlled himself too. One time, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing by and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was reprimanding one of his servants and he was giving it to the guy. Like he was giving it to the servant. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ala'anun wa siddiqun? How do these two things exist at once? That you're using such harsh words when talking to your servant and we call you siddiq at the same time? So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, immediately he freed that slave and he did tawbah to Allah. Similarly, the ayah of the Quran, وَلَا يَأْتَئُ لِلْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ, was a result of him getting really upset with Mistah. Because Misbah was involved in the accusation, he got really angry and said, I will not see your face again and I will not give you a penny again. And Allah Azza wa Jalla comes in to correct Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, take it down a few notches. You're someone of honor and virtue. This is not how you deal with people. فَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Be kind, be forgiving. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, similarly, the riwayah of Aisha radiallahu anha losing her necklace. I said, I won't share any, and here we go. Aisha radiallahu anha losing her necklace, and the army was held back, and they almost missed Salah. And there was no ayah of tayammum at the time, so people were freaking out, like, what about Salah? What about Salah? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is lying against Aisha radiallahu anha resting, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha is poking her in her side, saying, because of you. This is what the riwayah says. He was poking her in her side repeatedly. Hamoudi's enjoying it. His Baba does that to him. He's always poking him. So, I love this riwayah. Because when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up and then shared with them that the ayat of tayammum were revealed, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was then embracing her. And the Prophet of Allah said, this is not the first gift of the family of Abu Bakr to this ummah. You've given us many gifts, and here's another one. فَأَسْرَعْتُ عَلَيْهِ أَسْرَعْتُ عَلَيْهِ I went at him. ثُمَّ نَدِمْتُ And then I regretted what I said. فَسَأَلْتُهُ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ لِي فَأَبَى عَلَيَّ Then I said to Umar, Umar, man, I kind of messed up, said things I shouldn't have said. Why don't you forgive me? What did Umar radiallahu anhu say? No, I'm not going to forgive you. فَأَقْبَلْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَمَسْنَرَ بَاللَّهِ I don't know what to do now. قَالَ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرِ The Prophet of Allah made dua for Abu Bakr, Allah will forgive you. ثَلَاثًا He said the statement repeatedly. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عُمَرَ نَدِمَ Then Umar felt bad, man, I shouldn't have said no to him. He is Abu Bakr after all. فَأَتَى مَنْزِلَ أَبِي بَكْرِ He went to go look for Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. فَسَأَلَ أَثَمَّ أَبُو بَكْرِ فَقَالُوا لَا He asked, is Abu Bakr there? They said no. فَأَتَى إِلَى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ Umar radiallahu anhu comes to the Prophet of Allah. It's fascinating when people can't find people and when they're struggling, they go like a magnet to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he goes there to the gathering of the Prophet of Allah, Abu Bakr is already sitting there. فَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِ He gives salam to the Prophet. فَجَعَلَ وَجْهُ النَّبِيَّ يَتَمَعَرْ He said, in that moment, he noticed the Prophet wasn't happy. He said, salam to the Prophet wasn't happy. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ So the Prophet of Allah then spoke. وَاللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَعَثَنِي إِلَيْكُمْ فَقُلْتُمْ كَذَبْتَ وَقَالَ أَبُو بَكَرْ صَدَقَ When Allah sent me as a prophet to the people of Makkah, when I came to you people and I said, believe in Allah, some of you rejected me. Looking right at Umar. Some of you rejected me. And it was Abu Bakr who stood by my side. You think I'll ever forget that? That he stood by me when no one trusted me? That he believed me at that time? وَوَاسَانِي بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ And he made me an equal in his wealth and in his own life. He invited me in. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ تَارِكُوا لِي صَاحِبِي Are you just going to abandon my companion like this? Are you going to say that you refuse to forgive him and hold him accountable on the Day of Judgment? You're going to hold Abu Bakr accountable? This one right here? The one that stood by my side? فَمَا أُذِيَ بَعْدَهَا After that day, no one messed with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. No one went near him, no one said a word because they knew whoever has harmed the companion of the Prophet of Allah has made an attempt to harm the Prophet of Allah, and whoever tries to harm the Prophet of Allah has attempted to harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَذَى اللَّهَ فَيُشِيكُ أَنْ يَأْخُذَهُ And that is something you don't want to do. There was a dispute that happened in the tribe of Amr bin Auf, Bani Amr bin Auf. The Prophet of Allah found out. So after Dhuhr Salah, he went to the tribe, ليصلح بينهم, to reconcile between the tribe and solve their matter. وقال يا بلال إن حضرت الصلاة ولم آتي فمر أبا بكر فليصلي بالناس. If I don't make it back in time for Asr and it's prayer time, tell Abu Bakr to lead. فلما أن حضرت الصلاة أقام بلال العصر. So Salah time came, Bilal radiallahu anhu gave the adhan, he called the iqama, he told Abu Bakr to lead. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu started the prayer, and the Prophet of Allah came. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, وَجَعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَشُقُّ النَّاسِ, the Prophet of Allah, he cut through all the sufuf and went right to the front. The narrator of the hadith says that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was a person that when he prayed salah, he would not turn left or right no matter what was happening. They actually describe his salah and they say it was like a wood planted in the ground. There was no movement. He was just zoned out in a whole different world. So while he's there praying, the people started doing tasfih. Tasfih. The rawi of the hadith, he then asked the companions that he was narrating it to, do you know what tasfih is? And they said, no. And he said, tasfih. Basically, people started making this noise. They started clapping their hands like this. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was not paying attention to any of it. He didn't turn back. But when they kept going, when they kept going again and again, tasfih, sorry, iltafata, he turned back a little to see, why are they making this noise? فَرَأَ النَّبِيَّ خَلْفَهُ, he then saw the Prophet of Allah standing behind him. So he began to move back naturally. My friends, this is adab and ihtiram. For those of you who don't understand why is he moving back after he was told, we're projecting ourselves onto these people because we love the limelight and we love leadership positions. If you were giving a bayan and a sheikh walked in, you would make sure that sheikh sits in the back stuff and then you would tune up your bayan. I'm now going to use fasih alfaz. If you're starting salam from the corner of your eye, you see a senior sheikh walked in, the young guy in today's world, what does he do? He quickly turns forward and says, Allahu Akbar. He doesn't stop his salam, think to himself that I should offer this position of leadership to the senior who is there. Because we are Musalla hungry people. We are mimbar hungry people. We are mic hungry people. But Abu Bakr was developed by the Prophet of Allah. You can only imagine his adab ihtiram, how gentle he was. He begins to move back. The Prophet of Allah, Awma ilayhi Rasulullah biyadihi an amdhihi. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, stay there. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu slowly kept moving back. ثُمَّ مَشَى الْقَهْقَرَ, slowly, one step at a time, he kept moving back. فَمَضَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that he wasn't taking it, Abu Bakr wasn't going to stay there, he went forward himself. وَصَلَّى بِالنَّاسِ, and the Prophet of Allah continued his prayer. After salah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَبَا بَكَرْ مَا مَنَعَكَ إِذَا أَوْمَأْتُ إِلَيْكَ أَلَّا تَكُونَ مَضَيْتَ, why did you not continue when I told you to stay there? So he said, O Messenger of Allah, the son of Abu Quhafa would never dare to lead the Messenger of Allah. لَمْ يَكُنْ لِإِبْنِ أَبِي قُحَافَةَ أَنْ يَأُمَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, the son of Abu Quhafa would never dare lead while the Prophet of Allah is behind him. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so the Prophet of Allah understood adab, ihtiram. His disobedience was not disobedience. He just couldn't bear the weight of the audacity of standing in front of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in salah, so he moves back. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns his attention to the men. And this is where the riwayah is beautiful as well. The Prophet of Allah says to the guys, why were you guys clapping? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, why were you guys clapping in salah? إِذَا نَابَكُمْ شَيْءٌ فِي صَلَاتِكُمْ فَلْيُسَبِّحِ الرَّجُلِ وَلْتُسَفِّحِ النِّسَاءِ, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if the imam makes a mistake or something occurs in salah, the men should say subhanallah. This is the correction. Glorified is Allah from this mistake. People start saying Allahu Akbar, that's wrong. People start saying alhamdulillah, that is also wrong. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what should you say? Subhanallah. Glorified. Allah is pure of this mistake that this guy is doing right now. Allah is pure of it. Yusabbih. And then as for the women, because they are further away, they will use the hand clap, because the sound can then easily go further. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his final illness and needed a replacement to pray in his place, the Prophet of Allah chose Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. In his final sermon, the Prophet of Allah said, "Ma nafa'ani malun qattu ma nafa'ani malu Abi Bakr." That no wealth ever benefited me as much as the wealth of Abu Bakr. He gave me and gave me and gave me, and there is no match to how much Abu Bakr gave. Some narrations tell us that when he became Muslim, he had 40,000 coins. So much money. And when he passes away, he leaves behind nothing. His remains were presented to Umar radiallahu anhu, and Umar radiallahu anhu started crying. And he said, "Abu Bakr, you've made following you too difficult. How will we ever live up to your standards? How will we ever step where you've walked?" Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he heard the Prophet of Allah saying that no wealth has benefited me as much as the wealth of Abu Bakr, according to the riwayah of Imam Ahmad narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said Abu Bakr said, "Wahal ana wa mali illa laka ya Rasulullah." You keep saying that I gave. Why else did Allah give me life and wealth if it wasn't for you? This is mission. This is an objective. This is a goal. This is what this series is about. This series is about stepping out of our meaningless, numb lives and taking a peek into the lives of people that actually lived, whose name was elevated by Allah, not based off of their individual merit like secular societies and capitalist societies promote. They became something because they hitched themselves to something greater. They weren't interested in building their own legacy. That's such a meaningless, pardon me, dumb thing to do. You connect yourself to people who Allah is pleased with. This is a tradition. And the nur that penetrated their heart will then reach yours. Because no one here has the energy or strength to push this carriage along. In reality, it is all powered through revelation. So anyone that connects themselves to that model of revelation of wahi, the Quran and Sunnah, will be dragged along. And any cart that thinks that I can disconnect myself from this chain and I'll figure myself out without wahi, it is impossible. Without this revelation, that could never happen. There are one or two narrations I'd like to share before we wrap up. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu wasn't there. That morning, he led the Fajr prayer and the Prophet of Allah saw him leading and smiled at him. And then after prayer, he went to the Prophet of Allah and said that, "I'd like to go visit my wife who lives outside of Medina. I haven't gone for a few days." The Prophet of Allah said, "Go." While he was visiting his wife, the Prophet's health deteriorated. When the news reached Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu that the Prophet of Allah passed away, in absolute disbelief, shocked, his earth had just cracked open. He mounted his horse and rushed to Medina Munawwara in hope that it was all just some rumor. He entered into the mosque of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and saw a man lying. He entered into the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, and he saw a man lying in the middle, covered in a Yemeni sheet. And the people around were silently sobbing. So he slowly, calmly walked towards the Prophet of Allah and sat next to him and removed the sheet from the Prophet's face and began to profusely cry. His best friend had just left him. The purpose of his life, the individual who gave him meaning, who taught him to become this great legend he was, the one who calmed him in his time of anger, the one who made him smile, the one who praised him, the one who empowered him, the one who joked with him and taught him dream interpretation, his travel buddy, his war buddy. Everyone knew that when the Prophet was sad, he would go to Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr had a charm and he would cheer up Rasulullah. You can just see all those memories flooding his mind. So he leans forward and he kisses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the forehead. And then he says, Tibta hayyan wa tibta mayyitan. You were so pure and amazing when you were alive. And today as you lie here, passed away, you've lost nothing of that purity and that awesomeness. You will always be loved. Anyone that carries this blood of iman in their veins will have no choice but to love you, because you are so lovable. I thought about this a lot personally. Why is it that Abu Bakr is by the side of the Prophet of Allah the entire life? The whole seerah where I started is connected. But when it comes to death, they are separated. I couldn't make sense out of this for my life. Wallahi, I couldn't. I can't tell you how long I sat and thought about this. How did this happen? Obviously, it's the kun of Allah, the command of Allah, but what's the wisdom here? Allah knows best. But one thought that occurred to me is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu from the equation for that last part of the Prophet's life, because it's possible that had Abu Bakr seen it, he would have died with the Prophet. Some pains are too difficult to bear. So Abu Bakr leaves the equation, and then he is replaced by his number two, Aisha radiallahu anha. She finishes off what her Baba started, and she gives the farewell to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, holding him by her chest with her saliva in his mouth while the Prophet of Allah is lying in her home. And why I say this is because later on, 2 years later, when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu passes away, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates, he says that Abu Bakr's death was actually caused by the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was the gham that consumed him. There is a second opinion that he was poisoned, and a third opinion that he took a shower on a cold morning, which resulted in an illness. And all of these things are possible. You know, there could be an external pneumonia, cold that he picked up, but in his heart, there was no doubt. There's a riwayah that one time Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was walking during his khilafah and he saw Umar radiallahu anhu. And he said, Umar, what are you doing walking here all alone? What are you thinking about? So Umar radiallahu anhu said the same thing we all think about. How amazing the Prophet was and how much we miss him. So the two of them sat together and cried. End of riwayah. That's just it. This is how their days were spent remembering Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two sermons of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Number one, when he becomes Khalifa, and there are some very interesting incidents that precede the moment of him becoming Khalifa, but we'll leave those for today. When Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is appointed as Khalifa, he gives this beautiful, amazing speech. And I wanted to share that narration with you. He said, أما بعد فإني وليت هذا الأمر وأنا له كاره. I was appointed to be Khalifa. I had no desire to be Khalifa. والله لو وجدت أن بعضكم كفانيه. I wish some of you had spared me. Again, looking at Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu. Like, because Umar radiallahu anhu had a big hand in Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu being appointed as the Khalifa. ألا وإنكم إن كلفتموني أن أعمل فيكم مثل عمل رسول الله لم أقم به. If you tell me to be the same as a prophet of Allah with you, I will be incapable. I cannot do that. I can't do it. I'm going to fail. كان رسول الله عبدا أكرمه الله بالوحي وعصمه به. He had revelation. وإنما أنا بشر. I am not but a human being. لست بخير من أحد منكم. I am not better than any one of you. His humility. How humble he is. فَرَاعُونِي. So look over me. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي إِسْتَقَمْتُ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. So when you see me do something right, then walk behind me. And if you see me deviate, فقوموني, then correct me. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ لِي شَيْطَانًا يَعْتَرِينِي فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي غَضَبْتُ. I told you guys. فَاشْتَنِبُونِي. Right? Sometimes I get a little angry. So if you see me get angry, walk away. And in another one of his lectures, he said that I will stand by the one that is weak and stand against the one. Stand by the one that is weak if he is oppressed. And stand against the strong if he is the oppressor. The second sermon of his that I wanted to share with you, which is beautiful, when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was on his deathbed, he called Umar radiallahu anhu for his final advice to his successor, who would now stand in his place. He said, اتق الله يا عمر. Umar, be conscious of Allah. He's 63 years old now, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, tired and exhausted. Migration, battles, wars, working his entire life. Now he's getting ready to depart this dunya. And he's handing over this flag to his successor, Umar radiallahu anhu. So he calls him nearby and he says to him, be mindful of Allah, Umar, and know, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ لِلَّهِ عَمَلًا بِالنَّهَارِ لَا يَقْبَلُهُ بِاللَّيْلِ. There are some deeds that need to be performed during the day that are not meant for the night. وَعَمَلًا بِاللَّيْلِ لَا يَقْبَلُهُ بِالنَّهَارِ. And then there are deeds that are meant to be performed during the night that are not for the day. And Allah subhanahu أَنَّهُ لَا يَقْبِلُ نَافِلَةً حَتَّى تُؤَدَّى فَرِيضَتُهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept your voluntary acts until first and foremost you are fulfilling the obligatory ones. وَإِنَّمَا ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُ مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِأَتْبَاعِهِمُ الْحَقَّ فِي دَارِ الدُّنْيَا. That those who find their scale heavy on the day of judgment will be because they follow the truth in the world. This is the advice you give to leaders of the world. This is how justice exists. You want success in the hereafter, be just in the world. And those who will find their scale light on the day of judgment, it will be because they followed evil and falsehood while they were alive. وَحُقَّ لِي مِيزَانٍ يُوضَعَ فِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ غَدًا أَنْ يَكُونَ خَفِيفًا. And that scale that is light on the day of judgment because you did not put good into it deserves to be light, and don't regret it that day because you messed up while you were in the dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Umar, has listed the people of Jannah with their good deeds. So when you read it, say to yourself that I fear I may not be one of them. This will save you from being too comfortable. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the people of the fire of hell and tells us of their evil deeds. So hope that you are not one of them as well. This is where your hope comes into place. If you live like this, فَإِنْ أَنْتَ حَفِظْتَ وَصِيَّتِي فَلَا يَكُ غَائِبْ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ وَهُوَ آتِيكَ. If you live by my advice, the unseen, the one that is on its way to you, death, will be beloved to you. And if you go against my advice, then death will come to you and you will not be ready for it. It will consume you. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu passed away in the month of Jamada al-Akhirah at the age of 63 years old. His wife Asma radiallahu anha washed his body. He was buried next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the great giant Amir al-Mu'mineen, led his janazah prayer. And when he was lowered into the grave, his son Abdurrahman, along with Umar radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu, and Talha bin Ubaidillah, lowered this legend into his grave. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us in the company of the righteous and allow us to follow their footsteps. May he grant the full reward to Abu Bakr for his loyalty and sacrifice. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا